From KWCH 12 Eyewitness News, this is a Campaign 2018 Candidate Forum.
And welcome to tonight's forum in the race for Kansas governor. We would like to welcome viewers tonight, of course, on KWCH and WIBW-TV in Topeka. We'd also like to welcome listeners on KMUW and stations from the Kansas News Service. Joining me again as moderators tonight, WIBW's Melissa Bruner and KMUW's Tom Shine. Thank you to both of them for coming back. We are joined by five candidates tonight in the race for governor. Those include Libertarian Jeff Caldwell, Democrat Laura Kelly, Independent Rick Kloos, Republican Chris Kobach, and Independent Greg Orman. Here's how it will work. Each candidate will get 30 seconds for an opening statement. Then we will start the questions. We will end the forum with a 30-second closing statement from each candidate. And these candidates drew numbers at random to see who goes first. And we'll begin our opening statements with Chris Kobach.
Good evening. In politics, talk is cheap. Results are something different. As your Secretary of State, I have delivered results and kept my promises. I promised photo ID and proof of citizenship for our elections, and now we have the number one state in stopping voter fraud. As your governor, I promise that we will cut taxes. We will no longer be the high-tax state in the five-state area. I promise we will reduce illegal immigration, and I promise that we will end the culture of corruption and bring term limits to Topeka. It's time for a change.
Thank you. Jeff Caldwell, your opening statement.
My name is Jeff Caldwell. I'm a Johnson County resident, and I've been involved with the Libertarian Party of Kansas, and I've been an executive committee member since 2010. Over that time frame, I've participated in the election process, also in Topeka with the corporate control of our election process, and I've been heavily involved in trying to move legislation forward for average Kansans. I am running to be the lead representative of the average Kansan.
Thank you. Mr. Orman, your opening statement.
Good evening. I'm Greg Orman. I grew up in a single-parent family with five siblings. We didn't have a lot. I worked my way through college with loans and a lot of hard work. I started my first business when I was 23. At 27, I sold that business and have spent 22 years growing, building, turning around, and improving companies. I'm running for governor now to bring my business skills and common sense to government. If you're sick and tired of career politicians and their noise, please help me shake up Topeka.
Thank you. Laura Kelly, your opening statement.
Thank you. I am Laura Kelly, and I'm running for governor to make sure that every Kansan has the opportunity to succeed. You know, Kansas has been through a world of hurt. Doesn't matter where we look, our schools, our roads, our economy, our health care, all devastated by the Brownback experiment. We have an important choice to make this November. I have a strong record of bringing Republicans and Democrats together to solve problems. I'll get our state back on track. We need to slam the door on the Brownback experiment and rebuild Kansas for our children and our grandchildren.
Thank you. And Rick Kloos, your opening statement.
Hey, everyone. I'm Rick Kloos, independent. I'm the founder and director of God's Storehouse. We employ about 40 people. In a 13 listening area, I actually had a TV program for 7 years called Grace United. It was often referred to the Rick and Penny Show. But I ran as an independent because I'm pro-life and because I feel we can do politics better. I'm a frustrated Republican. I'm not bashing the parties. I'm just looking for some common sense as well, fresh perspective and balance. I'm running for governor because it's time for a new day in Kansas.
All right. Thank you for your opening statements. Let's get to the questions. Our first question tonight comes from KMUW's Tom Shine. Tom.
The next governor of Kansas will have to deal with a Supreme Court ruling that says the state continues to underfund schools by millions of dollars. Does Kansas properly fund its schools? And what should the state do to ensure that all Kansas children get a good education?
This question goes first to Mr. Kobach.
Well, state spending in K-12 in Kansas actually has been increasing, but strangely, we haven't been seeing the results. There's been a steady increase in the past few years. Just to give you some numbers, in 2016, it was $3.9 billion, 2018 up to $4.3 billion, but our test scores are flat. So I would say we need to look at where we're spending the money before we start shoveling more money at the problem. My proposal is that we spend 75 cents of every dollar in the classroom on instruction. That will ensure that when we spend more money, it will actually improve our test scores. That's critical. Right now, in the last 20 years, the number of students has gone up 10%. The number of teachers has gone up 17%. But the number of administrators has gone up 40%. That's part of the problem. We need to be smart about how we spend our money and spend it on educating the kids.
Thank you. Mr. Caldwell, your response.
Earlier this year, Kansas passed a school funding increase, but yet the politicians in Topeka have not told us how that they're going to pay for it. So without raising taxes on individuals, I would like to inject new revenue sources into our economy. I am running for full legalization of cannabis. I want to allow for deregulation of the hemp industry. Also, we need to bring sports betting into our state as well. Now, a lot of people are like, well, they promised us with the casinos. We need to earmark that money. I will not sign legislation unless the money is earmarked for our education. I also want to bring school choice to Kansas as well.
Thank you. Mr. Orman.
You know, the Supreme Court was great in flagging that issue for us, but it's really up to legislators to make decisions on how we fund our schools. My wife is a public school teacher. My running mate's a public school teacher. I clearly support public schools in Kansas. I do believe, however, if we want to afford our other priorities, roads and bridges, technical and career education, health care, we've got to figure out how to grow the Kansas economy. And, you know, my wife said this to me at one point as a teacher, you know, the best education plan is a growing economy, because with a growing economy, parents have better jobs, they have opportunities to spend more time focused on their kids' education. Kids aren't working until 2 in the morning at convenience stores. And ultimately, we'll get better outcomes if we grow the economy and have money to fund our other priorities.
Thank you for your response. Ms. Kelly, your response.
Thank you. You know, teaching our kids is the most important thing that the state of Kansas does. When Sam Brownback proposed the largest cuts to our schools in our state's history, I fought back. The fact of the matter is we have not been increasing funding for schools until this past year when we met the court mandate to do that. You know, when we talk about going back to the Brownback experiment, which is what Chris Kobach wants to do, we're talking about cutting those schools again so that we go back to larger class sizes, programs being cut, and teachers fleeing our state. We don't want that. We can do better for our kids.
Thank you. And Mr. Kloos, your response.
Part of the reason I ran for governor is because so many people, there seems to be a perception that we don't value education and our educators. And so we need to change that from the governor up. And we need to get to a place where we look at our kids as an asset. They're not just a liability. I'd never look at my grandkids or my kids as a liability. They're an asset to me. So as far as the Supreme Court goes, it should have never got there. We should have dealt with the situation. And if we'd value our education system and our teachers, so many teachers that I talked to said they don't feel valued, supported, and their salaries plateaued too quickly. So we need to get the money down to our teachers, and we just need to do some things better. I want us to be a governor who's promoting our education system.
All right. Thank you. Our next question comes from WIBW's Melissa Bruner. Melissa?
We'll talk a little bit about health care right now. Mercy Hospital in Fort Scott announced it will be closing at the end of this year. They cited shrinking reimbursements among the major reasons. So to what extent would you see yourself proposing expanding Medicaid or improving reimbursement rates? Or is there some other solution to ensure access to rural health care? We start this question with Mr. Caldwell.
Thank you very much. I believe that we need to offer more competition within the marketplace. What we had underneath Brownback, it created a trifecta of government-granted monopolies where we have three giant corporations that control our healthcare system. With that being said, we need to allow for more competition within the marketplace, allow for insurance companies to insure Kansans over state lines. We need to bring access to medication from other countries. That would be working with the federal government in order to do that. But I also, as governor, would sign the Medicaid expansion because 69% of Kansans support it, and I am running to make sure that all Kansans are represented.
Thank you. Mr. Orman, your response.
I think we send a terrible message to people in Kansas who are working hard but not making a lot of money. And that is, if you get sick, quit your job. Because to qualify for Medicaid in Kansas, you have to earn under 38% of the poverty line. To qualify for subsidies through the Affordable Care Act, you have to earn 138% of the poverty line. So if you're a single working mother with two kids making 12 bucks an hour and you get sick, you really have no recourse except to quit your job. And I think that's a terrible incentive to send. I think we want to be telling people they should work harder, they should improve their lives, we should be giving them incentives to do that. So I would absolutely expand Medicaid, but I think we can do it in a way that doesn't cost the state of Kansas money, and I've got a detailed plan for that on my website, wormanforkansas.com.
Thank you. Ms. Kelly, your response.
I have been always a very vocal advocate for Medicaid expansion from the day we had the opportunity to do that 6 years ago. We didn't do it. We've left $3 billion of Kansas taxpayers' money back in Washington, D.C. for them to, for other states to provide services for their citizens and for them to expand their economies and for them to grow jobs. We need to change that. The legislature passed Medicaid expansion. Sam Brownback vetoed it. I will not. I will expand Medicaid in my first year as governor.
Thank you. Mr. Kloos, your response?
I sat down with a young man who's CEO of a hospital in rural Kansas, and I said, what makes your community thrive? He said, that's easy. That's simple. I said, I like simple. He said, we got the best hospitals and we got the best education. And so when it comes to expanding Medicaid, it to me is a humanitarian issue. We've already had the House and Senate approve it. It was vetoed. And so we're talking about economic drivers in rural Kansas. We're talking about taking care of our elderly. We're talking about our young kids. We need to do something and we need to do it now. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Kobach, your response.
I'd like to begin by addressing something Ms. Kelly just said. Ms. Kelly continues to repeat a lie over and over again. She even has an advertisement saying it, claiming that I say schools are overfunded and that I want to cut school spending. That is a falsehood. I have never said that. And she knows that my proposal is to change where we are spending the money so 75 cents goes into the classroom. Now to the question about Medicaid. I oppose Medicaid expansion because Kansas taxpayers can't afford it. It's projected to cost $1.1 billion, but the actual cost will be many times that. And in Illinois, when they did Medicaid expansion, it was four times the projected cost. So what we need to do, instead of imagining that money grows on trees like my opponents do, is we need to think about where we spend the money and how to make it more efficient. Introduce direct primary care or concierge medicine. Let registered nurses do things that doctors do. Make it more efficient. Don't break the back of the taxpayer.
All right. Thank you. We have more questions, but right now we will take a short break. This is a Campaign 2018 candidate forum in the race for Kansas governor.
The races are on and the stakes are high.
Democracy has never been easy.
As the midterms approach, NPR has the latest news and expert analysis on the Democratic and Republican agendas.
Our priorities is to make sure that we not only reelect, but that we expand Republican majorities on Capitol Hill.
Critical elections, essential coverage, NPR News.
And welcome back to our candidate forum in the race for Kansas governor. Let's get right back to the questions. A recent report from Wichita State University shows the jobless rate is low in Kansas, but employers are having a hard time finding quality candidates. What will you do as governor to help get more quality workers to the state of Kansas? We begin with Mr. Orman.
Well, you know, the first thing I would do is draw on my private sector experience. And in the private sector, we say it's always easier to keep a customer than it is to get a new one. So we've got a huge military community that travels through Kansas, and we've got plans to really work to cultivate them, to keep them in Kansas when they end their military service so that they can be a part of the Kansas economy and the Kansas communities. The second thing I do is address the reputational deficit in Kansas. You know, I was talking to Marcelo Cleary, who's the CEO of Sprint. They just insourced 200 jobs, digital jobs, great jobs for our kids, and ultimately they put them in Virginia. When I asked him why, he said, we can't get people to move to Kansas. So we need to work hard to address Kansas's reputational deficit, get people to stop writing stories about what's the matter with Kansas, and start talking about what's right about Kansas.
Thank you. Ms. Kelly, your response.
I think the most important thing that we can do is adequately and fully fund our education system from early childhood through K-12 into our career and tech ed programs and then our higher education system. That's where we're going to develop the workforce of tomorrow. I think we also have to deal with the immigration issue. You know, I was just talking with some agricultural leaders today. It is very clear that the immigrant labor is extraordinarily important to our agricultural industry and to our manufacturing industry, and we need to work with our congressional delegation to ensure that they finally pass a comprehensive immigration reform bill so that we can have the workers that we need in this state of Kansas.
Thank you. Mr. Kloos, your response.
Well, skilled workforce is top priority, and that's why I like Dr. Randy Watson's school education redesign project. And it's going to really be helpful in keeping young people in rural Kansas, where we're bringing kids into an understanding their vocation early on. As far as 11th grade, 12th grade, they're going to have a vocation. They're going to be trained. They're going to be ready. And so that's very important. Immigration as well, doing what we can to allow more individuals, you know, to have the time as guest workers. You know, there's so much in that area that we need to deal with. And so life's about adjustment. If we don't adjust along the way, it's going to catch up to us. And so there's so many different areas that we can touch on. But with all these jobs out there, we need to do something now. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Kobach.
Wichita State University, in partnering with the technical school, has actually shown us the answer, an answer that Salina Tech has also arrived at, too, and that is when an employer comes to the university or the school and says, hey, I need people with this specific trade, diesel technicians, someone who can work on certain machining tools, the school then immediately responds to the employer and stands up a program within 6 months, and the program is full, and they're delivering people with that skill. Now, the open borders crowd, like we see here today, says, oh, amnesty is the answer. Let's just bring in more illegal aliens and allow those who are here to stay. That's not the answer, because what amnesty does and illegal immigration does is it drives down wages. And so you have jobs that were once sustaining a family now going at $10 an hour. That is not good for American workers. Let's get skilled Americans in those jobs, not look out for illegal aliens.
Thank you. And Mr. Caldwell.
I think we need to focus on trade jobs. We need to have kids wanting to learn how to work on the farm again. We need to allow for farmers and ranchers to allow for them to have the items necessary in order to bring forth rural jobs again, and that includes rural broadband access. Now, when it comes to immigration, I fully support immigration reform, but I think in order to help eliminate illegal immigration, we need to make sure that we have a background check, security check, disease check done. That's a federal issue. I think we need to work on our federal immigration policy big time, and that would help get people into the system. Right now, I know that a lot of illegal immigrants pay their taxes, but yet they don't have access to the system.
Candidates, thank you. For our next question, we go to KMUW's Tom Schein. Tom?
Kansas is a state that strongly supports the Second Amendment, with broad laws allowing concealed carry and open carry. How comfortable are you with the state's current gun laws, and what would you do to attempt to change anything, if anything at all?
We begin with Ms. Kelly.
Thank you. I've been a strong supporter of the Second Amendment and will continue to do that. I believe law-abiding citizens ought to have a right to carry, and I also believe they ought to have a right to hunt. I think all Kansans would agree with me, though, that we need to have some common sense gun policies in our state to protect our students and our teachers. I think it's important that those of us who have been gun advocates lead the charge to get that done. As governor, I will bring together law enforcement, mental health professionals, public health professionals, and educators, and together we'll craft a common sense gun policy for the state of Kansas.
Thank you. Mr. Kloos, your response.
Well, I've always been an avid hunter, being raised here in Kansas, rural Kansas, and so I don't think we need to lower our 21 age to carry a sidearm. I used to be a police chaplain as well and had the opportunity to be trained in that area. So I don't think we can ever, you know, lacking training. Anything we can do to get more familiar with the sidearm and how to use a weapon is very important. So I like the fact that we should go back to some kind of a waiting period before we actually have the ability to purchase a sidearm. I think that's important. But I am for the Second Amendment, and I am a Kansan, and so I'll leave that where it's at. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Kobach, your response?
Well, let's make clear where everybody stands here tonight. I'm the only person here with an A rating from the NRA and an endorsement from the NRA. Ms. Kelly has an F grade from the NRA. I'm also a lifelong hunter, shooter, and outdoorsman. I believe that we need to protect our Second Amendment rights, not whittle away at our Second Amendment rights by taking away certain weapons, etc. And indeed, I'm the only person here that thinks we need to expand our Second Amendment rights. Why is it that we say somebody who's 18 or 19 or 20 can carry a weapon in the U.S. military, but they can't defend themselves in a dark parking lot at night against an attacker? When my daughters go to college, I want them to have that ability. I think, and I realize, and I think everybody watching this knows, that the only thing that stops a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. It's not a plastic sign that says no guns allowed.
Thank you, Mr. Caldwell.
I'm sorry, Mr. Kobach, but I also agree with expanding our Second Amendment rights. I think we need to align our legislation because right now it's legal for an 18-year-old to open carry a rifle, but yet it's illegal for them to conceal carry a handgun. So in order to make sure that they are safer, we need to allow for them to conceal carry. Now, I will leave it up to the schools in order to make sure that we have school districts that are willing to allow or not willing to allow for teachers to conceal carry, but that should also be left up to the school districts. So I am another gun advocate running for governor of Kansas.
Thank you. And Mr. Orman, your response.
You know, I'm a gun owner. I support the Second Amendment, but I also believe in reasonable firearm safety laws. One of the things we did recently in Kansas that I thought was damaging was change the requirements for how you carry a concealed weapon. You know, in the state of Kansas, you need 1,000 hours of training to legally wax an eyebrow. But now, because of the constitutional carry amendment, anybody can carry a concealed weapon, even onto some of our schools, without a minute's worth of safety training. I would point out that Senator Kelly was a co-sponsor of that bill. And now she's since said it was a mistake, it went too far, but I believe it was a very deliberate act to put her own reelection to the state Senate above the safety and the interest of our children.
All right, thank you, candidates. We will take a short break right now. This is a campaign 2018 candidate forum in the race for Kansas governor.
This week, my fellow Kansans explores the rise and fall of Sam Brownback.
No more Obama way, now to the Kansas way.
He lied to us, stabbed us in the back. The next year, they came back and made it even worse.
It's been a great pleasure and honor of mine to serve the people of the state of Kansas, and it's just been a hoot.
Episode 3 of My Fellow Kansans is available now. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to our candidate forum in the race for Kansas governor. Our next question comes from Melissa Bruner with WIBW-TV. Melissa?
We're going to talk a little bit about money now. We have seen state revenue beat projections 16 months in a row, and year-to-year revenue is up since the rollback of the Brownback administration tax cuts. Would you support, though, bringing back similar tax cuts, maybe some other degree of tax cutting, or do we need to maintain this current trend to meet the needs of schools, pensions, and social services? We start with Mr. Kloos.
Well, I said this earlier, life's about adjustments, and if you don't adjust along the way, it catches up to you for the good or bad. And so we've seen what the past 8 years has done. Now, we seem to do have some extra revenue in the last number of months, but I think we're going to have to sit tight and kind of see where things go with that. But I'm really for the plan that we've used in the past, a three-legged tax stool, and I think, you know, once you eliminate one or cut back one, it affects the other, puts a stronger burden on it. So as far as that, I am for, you know, cutting taxes. But I think the biggest thing that we need to do is we need to promote Kansas. We've not grown since the year 2000, half the national average in our population. So I want to be the governor who is promoting Kansas in different ways so we can grow our population and grow our economy, and then we won't have to raise our taxes. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Kobach.
I've made it clear in this election that I will cut taxes. The 2017 tax hike on our income taxes was a disaster. If you combine that with the sales tax hike of 2015, the average family of four in Kansas is now paying $900 more every year in additional income and sales taxes. As your governor, I will cut our heavy tax burden. First thing out of the box I'll do is we'll pass that $137 million Trump tax windfall onto the people of Kansas. Second, we've got to give property tax relief. That's why I've proposed a 2% cap on the rate of appraisal for all forms of property. People are getting taxed out of their own homes. And third, we must address our high sales taxes on everything, including food. We have the eighth highest sales taxes in America. In contrast, Laura Kelly has voted to increase taxes four times and, when given the opportunity, would not cut property taxes.
Thank you. Mr. Caldwell?
So the issue that Kansas faces is we have a huge debt crisis in front of us right now. Kansas is $3.2 billion in debt, and that includes our pensions and unfunded liabilities. However, we need to cut government spending responsibly and then cut taxes. The reason why the Brownback experiment failed with taxes is because they implemented the tax cut first without responsibly cutting government first. So what we need to do is focus on getting our budget in line in order to abolish the sales tax on food and water, lower private property tax, and then get into eliminating the income tax down the road. So we need to cut government spending responsibly. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Orman, your response.
You know, I'd love to be able to say we're gonna cut taxes right away, but the reality is we have two decades of neglect in Kansas. We've got a pension that is now $9 billion underfunded. We've got roads that have been neglected. And so ultimately, if we want to invest in those priorities and take care of those problems, create a state where our children and grandchildren feel inspired to build their lives, we're going to have to fix a lot of things before we can do that. I'm actually the only candidate on the stage who's ever run an organization the size and the scale of many of our state agencies. I know how to get better results out of an organization like the state of Kansas. I'll make sure we spend every dollar prudently and grow the economy so we can invest in our priorities and hopefully eventually get to the point where we can provide some property tax relief and some relief on the sales tax on food.
Thank you. And Ms. Kelly?
Thank you. You know, I proudly stood before the legislature and led the effort, the bipartisan effort, to overturn the Brownback tax experiment. It was the best thing and the most necessary thing to do for this state of Kansas. It has now put us back on the road to recovery where we can start funding our schools, our roads, our health care, and other vital state services. You know, I think it sends shivers down the spine of every Kansan when Kris Kobach talks about cutting taxes and making things work and cutting programs. We know what that will mean. We know that that means our schools will go back to having shorter years, fewer programs, and teachers leaving our state. We cannot go there. That's not who Kansas is. That's not what we want to be.
Candidates, thank you. We will take another short break. This is a campaign 2018 candidate forum in the race for Kansas governor.
This is a great victory tonight. Great victory tonight. And we're on the road. We're just getting started good.
We are going to fly, fight, and win.
Are you ready to come to Congress with me?
The races are on. Make NPR your roadmap to the state-by-state battles that will decide the balance of power in Washington. Critical elections, essential coverage, NPR News.
I'm Michael Schwanke. Welcome back to our candidate forum. Our next question comes from KMUW's Tom Schein.
One of the sharpest differences between candidates has been the immigration issue. Recent data suggests there are about 75,000 illegal immigrants living in Kansas. What is the best way for Kansas to deal with illegal immigrants already living here?
This question goes to Mr. Kobach.
There is a very stark difference between me and the other candidates on this stage. Those illegal aliens are costing Kansas taxpayers $377 million a year in benefits and welfare every year. We have got to stop rewarding illegal immigration. Specifically, I will cut welfare benefits to illegal aliens. That's something Laura Kelly voted the wrong way on. I will stop giving in-state tuition rates to illegal aliens when we charge three times as much money to kids coming from Missouri or Oklahoma or anywhere else. And we will end sanctuary counties in Kansas. That has got to stop. We've got to put the safety and the economic security of Kansans first, not reward illegal immigration.
Thank you, Mr. Caldwell.
We should allow for corporations to hire and fire whoever they wish as long as nobody is harming anybody else. So with that being said, if there is an illegal immigrant here who is a violent person, they need to be deported immediately. That being said, as governor of Kansas, we need to make sure that I will follow through with what I am saying. And we cannot fall under the sanctuary state status because then we will lose federal funding. So we have to tackle this issue very responsibly. I fully support background check, security check, disease check done at the federal level. We need immigration reform. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Orman.
This is an area where we really need to have a Kansas solution. You know, at the federal level, I've been saying we need an immigration policy that's tough, practical, and fair. By tough, I mean we need secure borders. Of course we do. We also need to be practical. We're not going to find and deport 11 million people, nor would it be economically advisable or humane. In fact, it would decimate western Kansas. 2 out of 3 feed yards would close. 2 out of 3 dairies would close. Communities would become ghost towns. So how do we make it fair to taxpayers? I say if you're here on an undocumented basis and you register with ICE by date certain, you pay a small fine or perform community service as an acknowledgement that you've broken a law. But then if you hold down a job, you pay your taxes, you obey our laws, you should be able to stay here and work.
Thank you. Ms. Kelly, your response.
Thank you. You know, I've said before, I'll say again, we do need a comprehensive immigration reform. I will work with our congressional delegation to get that done. Our economy is dependent upon it, and I will be the voice for the ranchers and the farmers and the manufacturers with our congressional delegation to get this done. But when Chris Kobach says that we spend $370 million on welfare benefits for immigrants, that's just not true. They are not eligible for welfare benefits.
Thank you. And Mr. Kloos.
I actually like Greg Orman's policy on immigration, and so I would support similar thoughts. We got to look at this from a humanitarian aspect as well. Who is my neighbor? And so when we talk about jobs and we talk about growing Kansas, we have a lot of farmers and ranchers that I met when I was on tour in western Kansas, and they said they're like family to us, and we need to look at them as an asset as well. And so if we're going to grow Kansas and grow our job force, we need to somehow find an easier pathway. And I'm for secure borders. I'm for, you know, making sure they're obeying the laws, paying taxes and all of that. But at the end of the day, we just can't kick people out. We need to treat them as human beings. Thank you.
Thank you. The candidates will have 30 seconds to answer our final question. It comes from Melissa Bruner.
I'm going to squeeze one more question in. Former Governor Sam Brownback rescinded an executive order prohibiting discrimination and harassment on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity. Would you reinstate that order? We start with Mr. Caldwell.
You guys stole my closing statement's thunder. Yes, that is the second thing I will do, is issue an executive order that prevents the state from discriminating against anybody. The state should have no right whatsoever to discriminate against individuals. The first thing I will do is pardon all nonviolent cannabis offenses. So those are the two first things that I will do as governor of Kansas.
Thank you. Mr. Orman.
I would absolutely reinstate the executive order. And furthermore, I wouldn't sign any legislation that discriminates against anybody on any basis. I've got family members who are gay. I wouldn't want to tell them that they can't build a full and complete life in Kansas, or that they in any way should be subjected to discrimination.
Thank you, Ms. Kelly.
Yes, I will sign an executive order as soon as I possibly can to reinstate the discrimination ban on LGBTQ. Further than that, I will try to actually get that into statute so that we don't have to deal with this with every new administration. I'll also look at laws that we passed that provide for discrimination in adoption situations and see what we can do about getting those off the books. We need to be an open, welcoming state. We know what happens when businesses won't come here if they see us as closed and rejecting many of their potential employees.
Thank you, Mr. Kloos.
When it comes to state jobs, I don't believe we should discriminate against people. So I'm just an opinion. We need to meet people where they're at and, again, treat people for who they are. And somehow, you know, as we can work together and find middle ground, we can move our state forward. We've got so many other issues on the plate right now. And as governor, I just want people to know I'm going to be about the people and for the people. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Kobach.
I'd like to begin by rebutting yet another false statement from Ms. Kelly. She said it is incorrect that Kansas spends $377 million in welfare and other public benefits for illegal aliens. She offers no source. I'll tell you where you can find it. The statistics are right there. You can go to fairus.org, F-A-I-R-U-S.org. They did a state-by-state study to see how much some states are spending on public benefits for illegal aliens. We do not currently require someone to prove their legal status. That is why they're getting these benefits. As for the question, I will not reinstate the order.
Thank you. Right after the break, you will hear our candidates' closing thoughts.
The races are on and the stakes are high.
Democracy has never been easier.
As the midterms approach, NPR has the latest news and expert analysis on the Democratic and Republican agendas.
Our priorities is to make sure that we not only reelect, but that we expand Republican majorities on Capitol Hill.
Critical elections, essential coverage, NPR News.
We want to thank you for being with us for our candidate forum in the race for governor. Each candidate now has 30 seconds for a closing statement. We will go in reverse order as we did for an opening statement. So we begin this with Mr. Kloos.
I'm a pro-life frustrated Republican that went independent. The question I get is, can you win? I say yes, and here's why. There's approximately 800,000 Republicans, many who are frustrated, 550,000 independent, non-affiliated registered voters, 450,000 Democrats, and 18,000 Libertarians. Five candidates to divvy the votes up. I believe that I represent key voters and enough voters that share similar values and policy as me. When you go to the polls, do something different. Vote for Rick Kloos, November 6th. Thank you. Kloos for Kansas.
Thank you. Ms. Kelly, you're closing.
Thank you for joining us tonight. You know, this is a really pivotal election for Kansas. The stakes have never been higher. The choice has never been clearer. We can go backward and repeat the devastation of the Brownback experiment, or we can elect a governor who will work like the devil to put our state back together again. Kansas needs a strong, steady, experienced leader who can get to work on day one solving the problems facing our state. As your governor, I will bring people together. We'll get our state back on track. I'm Laura Kelly, and I ask for your vote on November 6th.
Thank you. Mr. Orman, you're closing.
I think we've seen two pretty stark visions from the major party candidates about what this race is about. Senator Kelly has talked about spending a lot of money but has no way to pay for it except to raise your taxes. Secretary Kobach wants to starve the government. I don't want big government and high taxes. I don't want to starve the government. I want better government. I've spent my life in the private sector building, growing, managing, and making companies more efficient. I'll grow the Kansas economy. I will make Kansas more efficient and ultimately allow us to invest in our priorities and give our kids the future they need in Kansas.
Thank you. Mr. Caldwell, you're closing.
My website is caldwellforkansas.com. That's CaldwellForKansas.com. I am the only candidate that brings four prongs to the table: cut spending, cut taxes, legalize cannabis, and defend the Second Amendment. If you want real criminal justice reform, you will vote for me. I will pardon all nonviolent cannabis offenses on the first day, and we will work to abolish civil asset forfeiture. It's time to bring representation back to Topeka. Thank you.
Thank you. And Mr. Kobach, you're closing.
The people of Kansas know my record as Secretary of State. I brought about significant change. If you like the status quo, however, I suggest you vote for one of these other candidates, because I can guarantee that if one of them is elected, nothing will change. The reason I can guarantee it is you'll have 4 years of the legislature passing a bill and the governor vetoing it. The legislature passing, then the governor vetoing. But if you want someone who's going to change Topeka dramatically, then I'm your man. We will have lower taxes. We will no longer be the sanctuary state of the Midwest, and we will protect our pro-life laws. So it's time for a change now, and I humbly ask you for your vote.
All right. Thank you. A big thank you to all of our candidates for joining us. Thank you to Melissa Bruner with WIBW and Tom Schein with KMUW. Thanks again for being with us. Don't forget to vote. Your decision counts. That is November 6th.